this week's gospel piggybacks, this gospel reading piggybacks on the lectionary text from last week, except that we didn't read last week's lectionary text. We instead celebrated the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Last Sunday, Mark's gospel told that there were crowds all over following Jesus wherever he went, and that they had no leisure even to eat. Jesus and his disciples were working long days to minister to the people of Galilee. He and his friends kept being followed by people seeking healing and teaching. And Jesus had compassion for them. Today we read that in his compassion, he wants to figure out how to feed the thousands of people that are following him. This feeding miracle is recorded in all four Gospels, and in fact twice in Matthew and Mark. So it's recorded six times. It obviously meant a whole lot to the early church and to the compilers of the gospel text, because it showed them, it made them understand that God would provide, God would care for them, and that God had concern for all people. And besides, God, when God did things, God did them abundantly. Important themes in the first century as well as the 21st. John's gospel, in its entirety, is trying to show us who Jesus is. That Jesus is God incarnate, the Word made flesh, as he states in the opening chapter. And John's version of this feeding story is part of that plan. He's trying to show us Jesus as God, plain and simple. That is, the real importance of Jesus' activity isn't simply to provide lunch for all those who are hungry, but rather to reveal something important, something vital about Jesus, and in turn about God. He's telling us that Jesus can take insignificant things and make something important of them. He's telling us that Jesus can show us abundant resources and comfort our fears. Theologian Walter Brueggemann writes frequently about the contrast between the biblical theology of abundance and the economic theology of scarcity. Brueggemann asserts correctly, I believe, that there is always enough. Faith and the necessities of life are not zero-sum games. There will be more than enough, whether we're talking about faith or food or resources. Jesus operates within this reality of abundance and unmasks the illusion of scarcity. With an abundance mentality, we say that there is enough for everyone, be it food, or love, or justice, or knowledge, everything, if we would but acknowledge and share generously and wisely. We know that there's poverty and hunger all around the world, close to home, for a whole host of reasons. Yet God's creation is one of abundance, and there is enough to be handed out and enough to share, and enough that we have enough. It seems simple, but we make it difficult. The miracle is not that everyone shared, that everybody took out of their own lunches and passed it around. The miracle is that from obvious scarcity, more than enough came into being when Jesus blessed what was obviously insufficient. Jesus was abundantly hospitable. The image of bread and feeding are signs pointing the whole of life that is given and sustained by God's hand. This miracle addresses our fears of scarcity and want. The story is about bread, but is more than just about food. Bread stands for what is essential in life, and all of life is given and sustained by God. In the words of Psalm 100, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. All that we are and all that we have happen. God's providence is always profligate, and there are always leftovers. We live in a culture that subscribes to the polar opposite way of thinking. We're always told that there will never be enough, that we always need more, be it money or possessions or stuff. And most of us believe it. We buy more than we need, we hoard, we obsess, and we keep thinking about keeping our resources for ourselves. And we depend on ourselves and our own resources to take care of our families. We in this country are 1/5 of the world's population, and yet we consume nearly 4/5 of the food and the associated resources to produce and deliver that food. That leads to the tragic conclusion that when we act on a mentality of scarcity through our prerogative of privilege and acquisitiveness, scarcity indeed becomes a reality. My own confession. Every year I go peach picking at Silverman's in Easton. I always pick more than I need, certainly more than two of us can use. Sure, I make pies, I give some away, we eat some of the peaches, I freeze some of the peaches, but no matter how I excuse myself, it's my fear that there won't be enough. P.S. I still have peaches in my freezer from last year. In the race and social justice group that meets on Wednesday nights, we have just finished reading a book by the Reverend William J. Barber, the title of which is The Third Reconstruction. In it, he chronicles the building of a moral movement for social justice in North Carolina. It's a compelling and hopeful book and not very long, and I commend it to you. The piece I want to flag from Reverend Barber's book is his reliance on God, his willingness to trust God's generosity and providence, to look to Scripture for the answers to life. As I read the book, I realized I mostly trust myself and the people around me. Reverend Barber is an intelligent, well-educated pastor who is faithful and believing. He writes, "History showed me that what the Bible says is true. When we all get together, something powerful can happen." He reads the Bible and he believes that as God worked with the prophets, so God will work with us in our struggles and our efforts to work for social justice. He reads Scripture and understands that there is enough for everyone if we work with and not against one another. When the Spirit moved and brought us together as a community, he writes, we saw how God can change the world into the world that ought to be instead of the world that is. His faithfulness is personally challenging to me. He believes and lives that God loves, cares, and provides for all people. He has shown me that I have some trust growing to do. This gospel today tells us some important things about God. It tells us that God loves everyone and does not want any of God's children to be hungry, and that God wants more than just the barest essentials, but God wants abundance for all. It tells us that God loves the act of sharing with one another, and that God never hesitates to use the love, spontaneity, and generosity of a child to teach adults a big lesson. It tells us that God exists in ordinary things like bread and fish. And it sets the stage for telling us that these ordinary things, eventually, like bread and wine, will become extraordinary things. That God will remind all who want to know that Christ is the bearer of bread that lasts forever, of food that will never run out. And this gospel tells us that God is with us in all kinds of weather, stormy as well as clear, that when we're scared to death, as the disciples so often were, God will stand with us in the midst of our fear. The meal Jesus gave them that day, and the meal that he sets before us this morning, has a much deeper dimension than just satisfying our hunger. It's an invitation to bring to him the neediness, our neediness in all its forms, especially those parts of ourselves that we think won't be of value to anybody. Just like he took those 5 loaves and 2 fish, which by themselves weren't very much, but when blessed by Jesus, were enough to feed people with abundance.